to a man yesterday. I want to share this. And I hadn't seen him in like 35 years and was just briefly associated with him even back then. And I'd asked him a question. I said, is your mom and dad still living? And he said, my mom died when I was 13. And his wife come in and she shared. She says, when I met him, he was so broken and so sad at the loss of his mother that it just really affected him greatly, you know. And you could tell that when he told me that, that he even now 40-something years later, he, you know, his mom meant so much to him. And I just want to let all you ladies know that your kids, man, they're ever and ever, you know, just thankful for you, you know. But I want to start out with the 23rd Psalm here this morning. It says, the Lord is my shepherd. Mm. I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in the green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul, and he leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff comfort me. Thou prepares a table before me in the presence of my enemy. Thou anointest my head with oil, and my cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever. But I want us to focus in, if you got your Bible there, on verse 5. It says, thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You know, last week, Mary talked about the table of the Lord and what the Lord has done and prepared for us. But I want you to notice there, too, that at the table, the anointing there, too.
Glory.
And the anointing's there to fill our cups. It runs over. Well, I want to share a story with you here. The Lord just put this on my heart last night that back when I was a kid, I had an aunt and uncle on my mother's side, and they had married brothers and sisters also. They, you know, not within the family, but they had, you know, a brother and sister had married another brother and sister. So their kids were double first cousins. Mm-hmm. But this family they married into, their last names was Smith. But they was 12 of the kids. They was 12 kids. And I remember as a child going visiting my aunts and all, they would take care of their dad. He would be over, and he done got old. And this old man, he would sit there on my aunt's vinyl couch, and he would just repeat a certain phrase and over and over again. I mean, if he said it one time a day, he said it 1,000 times a day, and that was the only words that come out of his mouth. And, you know, as a kid, you know, I was 5 or 6 years old, and he'd kind of wig me out, you know. I wasn't used to anything like that. And, you know, I guess time I got 10 years old or whatever, he passed on. But the Lord brought that to my memory last night, that, you know, the scripture says, whatsoever's in a man's heart, that's which he speaks. And, you know, Ephesians tells us to be filled with the Spirit.
Amen.
And, Lord, yeah. he paid such a price to give us the Holy Spirit. But yeah. I want to share the words of this man and his children. Now, those 12 children, all of them have passed now. But 6 of them come into, like, dementia or something along those lines, Alzheimer's, whatever, you know, sharp knives. I mean, to the very end, they was just as sharp as a tack. And in the natural, you would think, well, maybe it's the food you eat or something like this or that. But, you know, those kids was poor, and all of them come up eating green beans and cornbread, and they did that the rest of their life. But you think, why is it possible that, you know, half of them, minds were sharp, and half of them's minds just, they lost their minds there at the end of their life. But the words, and I ain't saying this is in concrete or nothing like that, but the words this man would set and say over and over and over again was no, no, feel, feel. There's no telling how many thousands of times that man had said that.
What did you say, David?
No, no, feel, feel. And he was, you know, was he saying no to... you know, he was saying something, you know, no to being healed. And, you know, his heart was speaking that. But anyway, the scriptures, you know, time and time and time and time again, the scriptures tell us to be filled with spirits.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. And hear what the Lord offers us at the table. I want to read it out of this Passion version here, third song. It says, I'll start here in verse 4. It says, Lord, even though your path takes me through the valley of deep darkness, fear will never conquer me, for you already have. You remain close to me and lead me through it all the way. Your authority, Sister Mary, you've been talking on authority. Your authority is my strength and my peace. The comfort of your love takes away my fears. I'll never be lonely, for you are near. You become my delicious feast, even when my enemies dare to fight. You anoint me with the fragrance of your Holy Spirit. You give me all I can drink of you, till my heart overflows. You know, guys, we got something to fill it. We got the Holy Ghost to fill our hearts and comfort us and our minds. And you know, just the greatest gift ever given is the Spirit of God. He says, so why would I fear the future? For your goodness, love, afterwards, when my life is through, I'll return to your glorious presence ever for you. But guys, I know a lot, you know, the majority of us are getting on up in age. We'll get some years. But, you know, I want to be remembered by my kids and grandkids as somebody filled with the Spirit of God and never said no to the Lord. I'm sure y'all that way too. And I just want to say thank you to you ladies and Clarissa too, but you ladies that's poured so much into my life.
Yeah.
To give me the word and show me the word and us just sharing together. And all y'all guys just bring some. And I'm going to let Thurston pick it up and go from here, but guys, y'all are such a blessing to me. I love y'all.
Mm-hmm. Well, David, we love you too, and that, yeah, the stories you told about that man was just so touching, you know?
Yeah.
I think that man was doing meditation, the older man.
Yeah.
But the first man that you talked about, how he missed his mom, you know, she had died at his early age, and how it affected his life.
Yeah.
You let us know mothers are very important in these lives, and that's the reason God has given to children moms. And we know fathers are effective too, but moms has that special touch.
Yeah.
And, ladies, we understand what he's saying. So we can say amen. Let all the ladies say
amen.
All the ladies say
amen.
Amen. Amen.
All right, that's better. I know the first one was practice. Okay. David, go ahead and just introduce the apostle.
Apostle, just share Isaiah with me. He's the wife and seen it all, and I know there's something good there. And you just bring it on, brother.
All right. David, I enjoyed that, man. That's a blessing.
Amen.
And again, happy Mother's Day to everyone. I won't get to see you tomorrow, but happy Mother's Day to all mothers. And
Thank you.
I thank God for the Holy Spirit. He helped us to carry on. And
yes.
We weren't able to meet in an assembly, but the revelation kept pouring in. And I can't wait to share some of it as we go forward. But, you know, I thank God for his presence. And it always amazes me what he can do in the lives of his people. And when people receive his light, when they receive his word, they're so much more enhanced. Our lives are so much more enhanced. And the Lord put some interest. I was doing a broadcast on the website, and for the website, and this a thought came to me, and I'm gonna share it later on as we go forward. But we want to focus on Isaiah chapter 8, and the Lord is dealing with the apostasy of his people, and I'm going to start down at verse 8. He's judging the apostasy of Israel and their idolatry. It started with the king of Assyria. And it starts off, the Lord is he's showing how things got to how they were. And Isaiah had a son. And the son provided us with a time frame. I guess I'll start at verse 5 to give more clarity. He said, "The Lord spake also unto me again, saying, For as much as this people refuses the waters of Shiloh that go softly, and rejoice in raising in Remaliah's son. Now therefore, behold, the Lord bringeth up upon them the waters of a river, strong and many, even the king of Assyria, and all his glory. And he shall come up over all his channels and go over all his banks. And he shall pass through Judah. He shall overflow and go over. He shall reach even to the neck. And the stretching out of his wings shall fill the breadth of thy land, O Emmanuel." Now he's saying, this is the first mention of Jesus Christ, O Emmanuel. He said, "Associate yourselves, O ye people, and ye shall be broken in pieces. And give ear, all ye of far countries. Gird yourselves, and ye shall be broken in pieces. Gird yourselves, and ye shall be broken in pieces. Take counsel together, and it shall come to nothing. Speak the word, and it shall not stand, for God is with us. For the Lord spake this to me with a strong hand, and instructed me that I should not walk in the way of this people, saying, Say ye not a confederacy to all them to whom this people shall say a confederacy. Neither fear ye their fear, nor be afraid. Sanctify the Lord of hosts himself, and let him be your fear, let him be your dread. And he shall be for a sanctuary, but for a stone of stumbling and for a rock of offense to both the houses of Israel, for a gin and for a snare to the inhabitants of Jerusalem. And many among them shall stumble and fall and be broken and be snared and be taken." Now watch verse 16 and verse 20. He said, "Bind up the testimony, seal the law among my disciples." Remember when Jesus, he rejoiced because the Father showed it to his, the essence of his word and the miracles to his disciples. He called them babes. And he hid it from those who were proud. This is what the Lord did then, and this is what he's doing now. There are people who are in the know. They go before the Lord. They have a relationship with him, and the Lord is giving them inside information. He said, bind up the testimony. The Lord, when we first met the Lord, he divided light from darkness. He's doing it now. Jesus said that the word is like a two-edged sword, dividing the soul and spirit. He's binding up the testimony and seal the law among his people. Verse 17, and I will wait upon the Lord that hides his face from the house of Jacob and will look for him. He's hiding from those who are proud. He's doing that now. Verse 18, behold, I and the children whom the Lord has given me. Now there's a distinction. Behold, I and the children whom the Lord has given me are for signs and for wonders in Israel from the Lord of hosts, which dwell in Mount Zion. We are those who love God. God gave us to Isaiah, so to speak, because he said, I and the children whom the Lord has given me are for signs. And see, he prophesied this first. If it wasn't for his works, our works wouldn't be complete. He said, Isaiah was the prophet who blinded Israel. Verse 19, and when ye shall see, when they shall say unto you, seek unto them that have familiar spirits and unto wizards that peep and that mutter, should not a people seek unto their God for the living to the dead? No, but to the law and to the testimony. Now watch this latter part of verse 20. If they speak not according to this word, it is because there's no light in them. And this is what I wanted to focus on, light. Remember when the 10 virgins, 5 had oil in their, you know, they kept oil in their lamps when 5 let their lamps run out. And they had light. And I always wonder, what is this, you know, Lord, I asked him about the light. And then he brought back to me some scriptures we'll look at in St. John, in St. John chapter 1, verse 4. But continuing now, he said, now again, verse 20, to the law and to the testimony, if they speak not according to this word, it is because there's no light in them. And what happens then when people don't have light in them, and they shall pass through it, hardly bestead and hungry, and it shall come to pass that when they shall be hungry, they shall fret themselves and curse their king and their God and look upward. And they shall look unto the earth and behold, trouble and darkness, dimness of anguish, and they shall be driven to darkness. When people don't have light in them, Satan will always drive them to darkness. Some people, he'll get them in gross sin. Some people, he'll drive them to darkness through depression, worry, fear, strife. Whatever they've given their allegiance to, he'll use it and leverage them. And that's not God's will. But when we have light in us, now God can work. Now let's look at first St. John chapter 1. And I was meditating on light, and the Lord brought that back to me. In 1 John chapter 1, it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life. Now watch this. And the life was the light of men. In Jesus, he was the Word. He became flesh. In him was life. And the light was the light. The life of God. The life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness comprehends it not. So when we have the light of God, when there's light in us, we have it's the love of God. When there's light in you, that's then the Lord has something to work with. if there's no light in us, you know, even when one of the seven spirits or manifestations of the Holy Spirit is the fear of the Lord. If there's no light in a person, the works of the fear of the Lord, it won't work. The convictions that God give you, if you stray, sin, or go out of bounds, or do something that's not in your best interest, and the Lord convict you, that's the fear of the Lord. Well, there's no way for it to attach itself. There's no way for it to help you out if there's no light. So when people don't have light in them, then the works of the Holy Spirit won't work in their life. They're more like the parable of the sower, when the birds of the air came and got the seed that fell on the wayside. When there's no light on a person, there's nothing to attract. They won't receive what God is doing, and they'll even get angry. And sin hardens the heart. That, you know, it's not logical for people to seek after wizards and witches and soothsayers when they know it's, you know, they've heard it's of the enemy, and they seek that instead of God. That's because there's no light in them. And because, amen. And they can't make a biblical, logical decision. Their quest is wrong. It's off. But when there's light in us, then we fear God. Even this, the spirit of knowledge and wisdom, counsel, might, those things won't work if there's no light in a person. And then when we have the light of God's word, and the Lord speaks to us, it's important to us. And we respond. And we grow. We change. When in John...
I'm sorry, Apostle Thurston, in that same chapter in Isaiah in the Passion Translation, if you look for number 9, sorry, Isaiah 9 and 3, and go down to F in the notes, it says in the Masoretic text, that scripture says, you have magnified joy to everyone who receives the light.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's in Isaiah 9.
That's Isaiah 9 and 3, but if you go to the footnote, it says that in the Masoretic text, you have magnified joy to everyone who receives the light.
Yeah. Thou, he said in the old text, thou hast multiplied the nation and has not increased the joy. The joy before thee, according to the joy in the harvest, as men rejoice when they divide the spoil. There's great joy in receiving God's. You know, when the Lord speaks to me and tell me things, it makes my life stronger. A friend of mine was talking to me about a heavy temptation he was dealing with. And I said, you know, when you go back to Adam, if you don't want to eat off the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, all you have to do is eat off the tree of life, and you'll have strength to resist and reject the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And he said, Hambone, you got me again. But anyway, that helped him, and it helped me too. I didn't know that was by the Holy Spirit. I never thought about that. When we receive more of his word, we have strength to do combat. The spirit of might will rise up because there's light for God to work with us. When the spirit of might, when you're at your last leg, you're at the end of your strength, the Lord can strengthen you to do his will. He said, preach the word in season and out of season. And I used to wonder, you know, what really does that mean? And I remember when Jesus was about to go rest and go before the Father, then here comes a multitude, and he had to start all over and minister again. But this week, the Lord shared something. He called it, an understanding about that came. God called you to the ministry, you have an anointing to do his will. The anointing gives you God's ability, He can work through you, through that anointing. If somebody comes, they're ready to hear, but you will not train for what they need. The Holy Spirit can cause you to say what they need, even though you will never train for what they need. You're ministering out of season. That doesn't mean you know what you're talking about. Sometimes the words of God will flow through you, and it really aids somebody. It helps somebody. You were a vessel of honor at that point. But what you have to do when that happens is go back and ask God questions and learn and train in that line of thought. I have to do that all the time. Sometimes the Lord calls me to say things. I say it, I was never trained for it, but the Holy Spirit graced me to say something. And this is true for any Christian can do this. You don't have to be called to the fivefold ministry. We're all called to the ministry of reconciliation. Because of the blood of Christ, we're washed in his blood. We're made righteous, and we can do whatever Jesus did. Jesus, a lot of people don't catch this, but Jesus said there's no prophet greater than John the Baptist, but he that is least in the kingdom of God is greater than he. And we have so many abilities, and we can use them. All we have to do is fill our heart with light so the Holy Spirit can work through us. If we need knowledge, if we don't have the knowledge we need about, we can't access it. We don't have it in our mind yet. It's not even in our heart like we need it. But we've been studying and receiving God's word. We've been looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith.